I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Roll call, we have everybody here tonight. And next on our agenda is citizen input. So if there's anybody here that'd like to address the council that's not on the agenda, council business, raise your hand, acknowledge you, and we'll give you up to 5 minutes. You can come up to the podium and state your name and address. Okay. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
See, Charles first, Dan seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, thank you. Do I hear a motion on the consent agenda?
I so moved.
Second.
Ken Kaler first, Gina second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? All right. Public hearing, that's what we'll do next. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspect of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:03 p.m. and is being held to receive a staff report and receive public comments on the revenue sources for the 2011 budget. This public hearing is required by state law. I will now ask the staff to report. Mike Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. I am going to sit and use the computer for this. This is a picture of the revenue that we projected for 2011. I updated the taxes a little bit from our workshop because, as I think I mentioned then, property taxes came a little bit higher from the county than I anticipated. So this is kind of a revised version of that. We anticipate our beginning balance in the general fund to be about $1.2 million, and our new revenues for the year about a little over $4 million, for total resources of about $5.25 million. And in the street fund, we're going to have a beginning balance of close to $75,000. Total revenue of $1,260,000, and then total resources of $1,344,444. The water fund will have a beginning balance of $1.236 million. And I might add that typically we don't carry this much in the fund, but since we didn't drill, we won't be drilling a well this year, we'll be carrying over $1 million that we were going to use this year for a well. And so it's in that total. So our new revenues are anticipated to be $1.9 million. And with total resources of $3.158 million. The sewer fund will start at about $143,000 with a total revenue of $839,500 and total resources of $983,000. The solid waste fund will have a beginning balance of approximately $117,500. With total new revenue of $977,000 and total resources of just a little over $1,100,000. And then the tourism fund with beginning balance of $36,588 with total new revenue of $46,000 and total resources of $82,588. The real estate excise tax fund will start the year at $420,207 with new revenues of approximately $43,600, and at the end of the year should total resources would be approximately $474,000. The utility tax fund will start the year at almost $225,000, and this is fairly low for this fund. Typically we carry over more. But we used about $589,000 out of this fund for the Main Street project. And so it's, the beginning fund balance is lower than 50%. New revenue will be about $1.5 million with total resources of $1.737,833 in that fund. And I'll go through the fund revenues. This is the general fund, and I've got just 3 years there, compare 2009, 2010, 2011. And once again, beginning balance of $1,020,000. Taxes are expected to be about $2.2 million. Once again, the property taxes here came in from the assessor's office. The estimate was a little higher than I had anticipated. The licenses and permits, about $55,650. Due to governmental grants, are really basically pretty insignificant, $1,200. And then our intergovernmental revenue, $257,400. The city assistance and tax mitigation make up a lot of that. And then the liquor board, the liquor excise tax and liquor board profits. Now these two, the total about $79,000. If the initiatives pass, we would only receive approximately half of this money for the first year, because it wouldn't go into effect, I think, until July 1st. So we'd probably only receive approximately half of this money. And I think we have a small surplus in the general fund, and I think we could absorb that. So total, and then other governmental revenues at $67,900. So total in the government is $326,545. Charges for services, $125,300. And that's basically from building permits going down. We budgeted $85,000 for building permits, and we've received, I don't know, $150,000. We've received way over our budget amount because of the school project. And but in 2011, we look like we're going to get back to normal, and so it'll be probably new homes that are built will be probably the main pusher in that every year. So it's down, that line item will be down. Miscellaneous is pretty much the same. No surprises there. Transfers. They're pretty much the same. This item right here is the last item, the general fund allocation. I want to explain that. The general fund receives money from the streets, water, sewer, and the solid waste fund, and that's for overhead. And we call that the general fund allocation. And the water fund, I can't remember what the total is it pays, but we cut that amount in half so we could balance the water fund and have it finish in the black instead of in the red. And so that's the reason that number's down. That was actually a choice we made to help out the water fund. So new revenue is $4,046,512, and total general fund revenues of $5,266,644. Then we go into the street fund. Once again, starting out around $75,000. Yeah. The retail sales tax, this number isn't up for any changes, because when the retail sales tax comes in, we fund the street fund portion of that, and then the rest goes to the general fund. So if there's a hit in sales tax, it would be in the general fund and not in the street fund. The street fund doesn't have the luxuries of the general fund, where some revenue items will come in high and some will come in low, and they kind of balance out. And the street fund isn't built like that, so we make sure we fund that. Intergovernmental revenue, $185,724. Miscellaneous, $11,500. Transfers is the public works allocation. These transfers are made from actually from the general fund. This is actually the park department in the general fund. And then water fund and the sewer fund fund this $600,000. So total street revenue, $1,259,724. And total available revenue is $1,334,444. And here's a picture of the tourism fund. We always leave at least, of course, you don't see the expenditure side here, but we always always leave a $40,000 balance, at least $40,000 balance in this fund. And so you can just subtract 40 from this, and that would be what we would be funding for our clients for the year. This is the real estate excise tax fund. It seems to be pretty steady. We haven't been hurt too bad. I know if we compare to get ourselves to what's happening in some of the big areas up over in Seattle, Tacoma, and I'm sure Spokane has experienced some of that as well. But we haven't experienced that. It's been coming in fairly steady. And so at the end of the year, we'll have almost $475,000. This is going to be one of our funding options this year for maybe some street projects or whatever. We're going to look at those kind of options. The utility tax fund, there's not a whole lot to say about the utility tax fund. It's funding fairly good this year. At this point, there's no surprises. So we're looking at just continuing on next year. And everything stays pretty much the same, about $1.5 million in revenue with a total at the end of the year of about $1,737,833. The water fund, once again, is starting off with a high income balance because of that well we're not going to do this year. Water sales, the number I use for water sales is predicated on a 4% increase. I'm not trying to suggest anything. I'm just put that in there because I know there will be, I expect there will be an increase. And so I use that number. Total charges for services, $1,009,000. Miscellaneous, $18,500. For total revenue of $1,921,684, and total available funds of $3,158,507. The sewer fund in the beginning at $143,575. And it will get a rate increase because it's on a schedule for a rate increase for next year. And so I'm estimating revenue of $850,000. Total service for charges and services, $845,000, about $4,500 in miscellaneous. And for total sewer revenues of $849,500, and total for the year of $983,075. The last fund is the solid waste revenue fund. We expect it to start the year at about $117,500. And I don't expect revenue to change. It might change in a small way if there's new housing, new people moving into the city, et cetera. It could change a little bit, but it's not going to be a significant change. So we anticipate it to be pretty much the same. No real changes in this fund. Total revenue, $977,100, with a year end of $1,094,600. Are there any questions or comments?
You're done, Mike? Okay, thank you. I will now ask for public testimony, questions or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please stand and state your name and address for the record at the mic. Now allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay, since there was no public comment, I will close the time for public testimony. Do any council members have comments or questions at this time? go ahead, Mark.
Two comments. One, the REIT fund, real estate excise tax, and you made a comment that we might use that for roads. It was my impression that that was earmarked for parks. And just to let council know, if you try to spend it on anything but parks, I will adamantly be opposed to that. I want to buy a park, and I want money available for a park. So to me, that's automatic earmark for parks. The second item you mentioned was the water fund, the allocation to the general fund for overhead was manipulated to make it come out right, and I'm not so sure I agree with that. There is some kind of formula that we voted on that says so much of the water fund will go to overhead, and I think we ought to stick to that. And if the water fund comes in negative, then we need to address that. Do you know offhand what the formula is to how much the water fund goes toward overhead? Is it a percent or?
Yeah, it was a percent.
I think I can get it.
55%. Well, Mike's working on that. We commissioned a cost allocation study just a few years ago in the city, and that's where the formula came from.
Right.
Just to back that up, and I'm just trying to give Mike a minute.
The water funds portion of this allocation is $123,814. And basically the balance you see here, we cut that in half. So we forgave $61,907 of it so that we can balance the water.
Yeah, but we got away from what Eamon just mentioned that we commissioned, and I don't remember what, do you remember what that was? Was it a set amount or a percent? Or
It's a percent, and we have it. I just don't know.
Yeah. So,
but we do water and sewer on Wednesday this week, and we can walk through it on Wednesday with it.
Yeah, I'd look if we really want to do that. If we're hurting for water, it would certainly justify a rate increase. If we just keep pushing it to the general fund, it kind of skews things a little bit. That's my opinion on that. That's all I have.
Any other questions or comments by council? Okay, I guess the staff members have another comment about what was just said? No? Okay. I will now close this public hearing at 7:18. And thank you, Mike. Okay. Paper here. Okay, Main Street update, Larry Julius. Okay, Taylor.
Thank you, Mayor. We look a lot alike. To give an update on the Main Street project, the Main Street the main line for the storm sewer is incomplete. The contractor's still installing catch basins. They're up to in between third and fourth right now, so they're about 25% complete with the 10 catch basins on Main Street. They've started the water line project. They anticipate getting started on the main connection at Broadway and Main here within the next few days. Next week, the electrician for the contractor is anticipated to be out to get the conduits in for the new traffic signals, or to get started on the conduits for the new traffic signals and the conduits that will go under the sidewalks for the beautification. Olympia Street has been ground, and they've started the grading and excavation for the north half of the street to put the section in for the new part of the road. The box culverts are in on both sides of Olympia Street at the intersection 7. Walking path along Lions Park, all the concrete portions have been put in. The anticipate within the next week or so to get that prepped, the middle section for the paving. And they've also started the grading on the parking lot in front of the tennis courts and basketball courts. By the end of the next couple weeks to 3 weeks, they should have from Main, or excuse me, Railroad to Fifth prepped and ready to pave. That's their anticipation at this point. The sidewalks, as soon as the electrician gets here and gets the conduits laid out and in, they'll start on sidewalks and curb and gutter along Main Street. With that said, we'll continue questions.
Do they put the sidewalks in and gutters before they pave?
Yes.
Any other questions? McCounsel? Mark?
Well, there was a quote on TV that reminded me of the road project. The quote was, "It's never too early to panic," so. I hope everything's going well, because it's hard to tell from a layman's point of view. But there was questions about all the sidewalks being removed. I wasn't aware of that. Those are all covered by the contract price, the replacing of those?
Yes.
And the only other comment I have, and I mentioned it to Eamon, is we've slanted a lot of fill up to curbs and entrances and the pavement on the intersection, so there's not abrupt edges. But when they asphalt, I'm going to be the 90 degree guy. I want my 2 3/4 of asphalt right up to the edge of all the curbs and existing roads that weren't ground down. I don't want them, the slant still there and come up and with half inch of asphalt. How do we protect ourselves that way?
The contractor will have to take those slants out. It's actually more work for him if he leaves those ends.
Okay.
Because he would have to adjust his pavement up, and then there would be a serious bump where the intersections come together. And we, you know, part of the contract, they are required to put a smooth transition in. So if when the project is done and paid, if you were to come across a side street to hit a major bump, that's, you know, unacceptable. We'll have to redo it per contract.
Okay, so I will get my 90 degrees in. They'll clean all that fill out. And how about on 7th and Main, on the south side of the intersection, there's a diamond shape, and it looks like it's got concrete in the middle with some kind of manhole and then asphalt around that. Is all that asphalt going to come out?
Yeah, that storm drain is actually going to come out. That's a storm drain manhole for your existing city storm drain. Your existing storm system has covers all the way down Main Street until it hits 7th, and then some of those catch basins tied in that storm drain, and it runs all the way down 7th to Scootney, and then Scootney heads down to Broadway. From Broadway, part of it goes across the tracks, heads north along Broadway until it gets just north of Kelly Bean, and then it heads down across the tracks. And as part of relief to that system, we eliminated that manhole and made the main line through Main Street capable of handling that water.
Mm-hmm. So that'll all be gone, the manhole cover, the asphalt, concrete?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ken.
He isn't going to get away as easy as he thinks here. I got a couple of questions. As far as those traffic signals are concerned, I know we're probably not going to do some of those till next spring. But how are we going to address that as far as our handicap ramps, our sidewalks and whatnot, where we're going to have those bases, and we've got the existing bases, the old traffic signals. In other words, are we going to have a patch job in that when we get through? We'll have to get rid of what we've got existing and then come back with a new one and place it there for the new traffic signals. I know you mentioned about the electrical part of it, but what about the basic? Maybe at least installed before the handicap ramp report?
Yeah, this last week we had our surveyors out and surveyed for those bases so that the contractor could get going on that. I don't know exactly when he's going to place those, but it will be before the new sidewalks.
One other thing, I guess, when it comes to the beautification part of it, as we report those sidewalks and say we do down the road come in with our beautification, I'm assuming we probably will sock up those out or whatever. In other words, the provision I'm asking, when you're talking about the electrical portion of that, what about the water portion of that? Are we going to have a sleeve through those where they can cut through and then pick up their water on that, so we're not going back out in the street and cutting into the street every fifth street or whatever it's going to be? Is that all tied in there too?
The stub outs for the water services are in there. It's tough to say because we haven't designed anything as far as where trees are going to go or exactly how many. But you wouldn't have to cut into the street. You could push something underneath the existing sidewalk to get to trees from the service, because there's a water service tapped out of each block for that.
Okay. I know when we were talking about sleeves and whatnot for the beautification, I didn't know if that was just some of the cross streets where we wanted to tie that, or whether it was up and down Main Street too. So we could make provisions for that. So. I told you to get off easy tonight.
Go ahead.
Yeah. In response, I'm not going to question you at all. I was in Spokane this past weekend, and Councilman Spohr brought up the 2.5 inches, and the streets that I crossed in Spokane that are being torn up, half of those, they haven't put anything in them, so you just go bump, bump over the street. And I crossed 2nd Avenue in Spokane, which is the main one-way street. Half the street's torn up, down into a hole about 1.5 feet deep, and then back up out of the hole. So I think we're doing pretty well, considering what's going on.
We're on the contract on a weekly basis to try and maintain those potholes, and I realize that it's not perfect, and I'm sure there's many complaints. But we try to get after them every week to get
all the
fixed.
Broadway. Across Maine is getting really bad.
Yeah. Broadway, you know, that was brought up once before, and I will make sure that we address that with the contractor. That's a tough street, as anybody that's been down there knows, because those trucks come through there really fast.
There's a couple up on 14th too, where you're pulling off of Main on 14th, where the asphalt is gone and the gravel's just getting kind of dug out, and they're pretty deep.
Okay. Is that on Main itself, or after you get off?
It's after you kind of turn off on as you're turning to the south.
Okay.
But I would like to commend our contractor and you guys for doing a good job and accommodating businesses. For example, I know they wanted to start the water main tomorrow, but because of one particular business needed water tomorrow because of a function they have going, they put that off for another 24 hours, and it's going to start on Wednesday. And you know, that puts the contractor behind another day, but he was willing to do it to help accommodate our businesses. I really appreciate that.
Good. Amen.
Just a quick comment. Council Member Spohr mentioned the concrete diamond shape around the manholes. That is an innovation by the city crew for the public. And what I mean by that is several years ago, they used to do squares around the manhole covers. And when you drove over them, you had two bumps. And somebody on the crew said, let's turn it a little as a diamond. So just to compliment the city's crew. You know, they come up with things like that all the time. So anyway, that's why the diamond shape is there, and that's why the concrete is there.
Good.
Add one more thing while we're talking about that. When we had our little flood that went on First and Main Street, I think you got to commend our city crew and the contractor and everybody. They all jumped in there and did something about that, to do as little damage as it could be possible on that. I can't really say it's anybody's fault it happened. It's just one of those things in construction. But at least they jumped in there and took care of the problem, and there's some existing things that are coming up that that looks like it's going to be taken care of. There was some flooding going on there and whatnot, but I think all in all, I think they've done an excellent job handling that.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you guys' hard work. And okay, Vista Electric Service Extension Agreement. Larry?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. This is in relation to Well 5. As you may recall, we've been rebuilding Well 5. Schneider Equipment is just about done with all that work, and they have been in contact with Avista regards the electrical service. And with the upsizing of the motor to a 400 horsepower motor, Avista came back just a few weeks ago and said that they would need to upsize the transformer that's mounted on a concrete pad right next to the well house. And they came up with the agreement that you see in front of you and a cost of $2,587 to do that work. I checked with our electrical engineer in Seattle just to kind of see if they were in the ballpark, and he heard the price and said, wow, that is a fraction of what you would normally spend if you were just to go out and purchase a transformer for a 400 horse motor. We believe it's a reasonable cost. I don't think at this time that it's going to increase the total that we had come to council with back in, I think it was June, as far as the total project cost, because we've had some efficiencies on the job, and I think we're still within the original budget. This was something that at the time had not come up, but in talking with Vista, it is a necessary item, and it's a change from what we had come to the council for originally. So we would recommend approval of the agreement with Avista for the new transformer.
Questions for Larry?
I got one on that. Is that normal that in a situation like that where you upsize that that you pay for that transformer like that? In other words, what I'm saying is when they get through with this thing, and if we've got a bigger motor there than we had previous, that means our bill may be a little higher. And a lot of times they used to compensate for that and not charge you for such things. And then when your bill come out over a period of year, they pick up that difference. And is this something new that the companies are doing now, or is it just the way it is, or what?
I don't know if it's new, but it's quite possibly that's why we have such a reduced price on the transformer. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Quite often they'll forego a cost or even their installation just because they know they'll have more revenues. We didn't ask Avista, but we certainly could. It could just be a sign of the times.
Yeah, that was my same comment as boo Avista. We pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars for power, and we're bumping up business for them, and they charge us for it. So, but I have a feeling it's more the sign of the times.
Well, do I hear a motion to approve the electrical service extension agreement with Avista?
Motion.
Gina first. Charles seconded. Any more discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Moon Street Sewer Extension. Larry?
Thank you. I'm going to switch here just for a second to the computer.
Oops. I got it wrong. Discussion.
Recently, city was approached by Mr. Ed McCann to discuss bringing an area that's south of SR 26 and west of SR 24 into the city sewer system. And Ed is here this evening. I don't know if any of you all know him. He's the owner of property and houses on West Moon Street and in that area. There's existing houses, about 50 of them, that discharge to Lagoon. That's out next to the canal. And you can see that in the lower corner here. This lagoon serves this entire area in and around the extension of Moon Street, where it would turn and head up Highway 26. Ecology has requested that Mr. McCann talk to the city about tying into the city sewer system. Existing, there is no sewer closer than approximately this area here, which is behind Broadway, about opposite of Scootney. A portion of the SR 24 industrial area infrastructure project is tying onto the city sewer system at this point up here behind Broadway, bring a sewer main down underneath Highway 26, and then east along Moon Street to serve the area in the industrial park area. This would be an ideal location for Ed to tie onto the city sewer system to serve his area. We've had a couple of meetings with Ed. There's been, I think, some very positive discussions, not only with Ed, but with Adams County, who's interested in seeing the project go forward, and has all but pledged $50,000 towards the project through the ACDC funds, I believe it is. We've also had contact with a funding agency, Community Development Block Grant, that services low to moderate income housing areas to do projects just like this. And in your packet was a project description sheet that talked about how the project could be funded and different funding partners. And since the city has received funds for the design of that sewer system, we could leverage that towards the CDBG project and basically get more bang for our buck. Have the county as a funding partner, have Ed as a funding partner, and then have CDBG fund the rest of the project. We're talking probably around $1 million to $1.1 million to do all of the sewer work, not only the city's portion, that would be north and south behind Broadway down to Moon, but also Ed's portion out to the houses that now discharge into the lagoon. And I think this is an opportunity to leverage as many funds as we can and have CDBG help out where there's a definite concern right now as far as where and how these houses are discharging their raw wastewater. That's a little bit of an introduction. We'll be delving into it more as we go along the next few months. We just wanted to introduce the project to council, get into a little discussion and informational at this time, see if there's any questions or comments about the project. Your input would be greatly appreciated. We anticipate talking to CDBG folks again in the next week or so. And as we progress towards the deadline of their application, which is mid-January, firm up more how we're going to, if we do the project, how we're going to do it. You may recall from past CDBG projects the cities have funded, there are a few hoops to go through. Public hearings, salary survey. In this case, I would say over 90% of the houses out there are low to moderate income, so that garners us many points from the funding agency. The fact that the design of this portion of the sewer along here is complete also will help us as far as being a shovel-ready project.
Larry, you got One little correction on your funding portions. You have the Adams County, you have Mr. McCann, and I want to know how did you get the city of Quincy to put in $81,000 into this fund?
I wish I could say they were a funding partner. It was a little bit of an error on our part, and I apologize. Already apologized to Eamon for that. Theirs was the template that we used to set that form up with. And
I'm not picking on it, but I did read that portion of it. Where's this guy?
That was a test to make sure you read it again.
Is this all gravity flow, or does it involve lift stations?
The main line that's a portion of the city's project is all gravity. It'll be 18-inch diameter pipe. That's what will be necessary to serve the SR24 area and south down to Bench Road. We are not sure yet whether all of the Moon Street, West Moon Street project can be gravity. We think part of it may have to be lift station, but Ed has an engineer that's going to be out surveying, and we've been working with him as far as to make sure that we're at the right elevations so we don't have a project like this look like this.
One more for you, too. At one time, did we consider going down Moon Street and then parallel in the canal and then pick up that line further on down? Wasn't that considered at one time, rather than coming back east and then going to the north on the runway?
Yes. We looked at various scenarios of how to get around the railroad tracks, the SR-26 bridge, the canal. So it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle trying to fit everything in together. And at this point, in discussions with the city staff, it appears as if the best solution is straight down behind the railroad tracks, cross under the bridge, and then we'll actually cross the railroad tracks right where Moon Street crosses at the tracks.
Does that project involve digging up Broadway Street then?
No. The sanitary, the existing sewer is actually west of Broadway, behind the warehouses.
Yeah. Isn't that along the railroad tracks? Or the
right.
Railroad tracks?
Railroad tracks are along here. Broadway is up here. Warehouses, Kelly Bean, et cetera, are along in here. And ours would be to the west of the railroad track. That's mm-hmm. where we tie onto the existing sewer.
So it connects right there between the concrete plant and Washington Carrier's yep. building there.
That's the line we just put in to get mm-hmm. rid of that lift station.
Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago. Right.
It's at sufficient depth that we can tie onto it mm-hmm. and serve all the areas south of there to Bench. By gravity.
Wow.
This is where you have on Moon Street.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah. That seems to be the shortest route for him and the most wide open without other utilities or obstacles in the way. And I believe there's a gentleman that has land along in here that's also interested in tying line. So as this project grows, there may be more partners involved.
Well, that's when we go down there along the tracks, there is a few businesses there that are currently have septic systems that are on the north side of 526. Would we be required to have them hook up to the system to eliminate those septic systems that they have?
That would be nice.
There's a trucking company down there, too, that might want to.
that's the other part of it, maybe.
We're not looking for any action this evening. We just want to introduce the project to you, answer any questions you may have, any comments you might know about the area that we could just get your interest in. We'll be coming back to council in the future. We haven't set a date yet. Once we've had more of a chance to talk with ecology, the funding agencies, Mr. McCann, and other funding partners.
Where did the funding for the engineering work already done come from? Did that come from the whole industrial area out there monies?
Public Works Trust Fund.
Okay. So do you think you can get it 100% funded between our partners and our grants?
We think so. CDBG is limited to $1 million, but we think that we can get probably even in the range of 900,000, keep the exposure to Mr. McCann as painless as possible, utilize the county's money, utilize the money that the city has already received from Public Works Trust Fund as a leverage, and the funding agencies always like to see that.
Well, you know me, if it doesn't cost anything, I'm in favor of it, so.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Well, thank you, Larry. That's awesome. Crack seal contract, $25,000 contract, Amen.
You have before you an agreement contract for crack sealing. This is for roads in the city, not for the city budget. So we don't have crack sealing in the city budget. At least not so far.
Let's keep it that way.
We do this annually, and what this does is prevent further damage to streets. Water is the most prevalent enemy to streets, and if we don't seal the cracks, water gets under, freezes in the subbase, and then it upheaves the asphalt. This project this year will be in the area of Hemlock to Ash and 7th to 4th. Now that is also a consideration, that area, for overlay this year. So if the council, through our committee and the budget, decide to overlay that, obviously we would crack seal it and waste some money. We'd move the crack sealing project to another quadrant of the city. The city went out through the informal bid process. We did receive three bids, and as noted in the agenda memo, three bids were received. One was 61 cents per linear foot. The second one was 57 cents per linear foot. And the last one from BCB Inc. Is 35 cents per linear foot. So with that, the staff is recommending that the city council approve the agreement with BCB Inc. Not to exceed $25,000 for crack sealing in the area of Hemlock to Ash at 7th to 14th. Again, depending on what the council does with street paving.
Questions?
I just have a little bit of an issue with deciding an area. Why don't we prioritize some things?
Well, we have. Basically, that's what we've done going around the city. Remember the year that we added the crack sealing of the parking lot here at City Hall? That became a priority, and we've done that basically, moved around the city. It kind of goes, it dovetails a little bit with our nine-year street paving program that we have. We're trying to stay ahead of that to save and preserve the streets.
I'm just thinking there's up some of those overlays in the northeast section of town. There's some cracks. It'd be nice to get on those to save those overlays. So I hate to limit it to an area. If I don't know if it's worth or adds value for Public Works to drive around and target a certain area, but then say and prioritize here and here and here.
Okay, so we'll take a look at that.
Do I hear a motion to approve the bid for crack sealing with BCV at 35 cents a linear foot?
That motion.
Gina?
Second.
Charles second? Okay. Gina first. Any more discussion?
I have one more question. This $25,000 is already in the budget. We budgeted that for this year. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same? Great, thank you. This passes. Okay, resolution to surplus equipment. Debbie?
Resolution that we proposed and we presented in the packets is to declare two vehicles which are owned by the used by the Public Works Department. One is a 1991 Chevy Chevy Blazer, and another one is a 1994 Chevy pickup. So staff is asking that the council adopt the resolution to surplus equipment and allow staff to work out the procedures to get to have them taken to the Booker auction and sold at the auction, which is coming up first part of November.
Question?
I know the 91 Chevy Blazer was given to us by Avista. We don't have no strings attached to that when they gave it to us. We can't get rid of it.
I remember when they gave it to us, and I did have a little sticky note that it was given to us, but we were able to transfer that title at no problems, and so that title is in our name.
Can we trade it back for the charging board?
You didn't hear it, did you? Did you hear it? Oh, okay.
No, as I like that.
Okay. Oh, that was pretty good.
That was.
Come on.
I'll make that motion to declare these two vehicles surplus.
Second? Mark Snyder? Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Ken Kaler? Oh, Ken Johnson, sorry. Mark Snyder was second. Okay, unfinished business. New business? Okay, Mayor's announcements. Union negotiations this Wednesday have been canceled. New date has not yet been set, so you that are on that committee. The 32nd Old Hotel Auction for the Arts is 6 p.m. this Saturday, October 16th at Evergreen Implement. The State Auditor Entrance Meeting is scheduled for Thursday, October 21st at 1 o'clock at City Hall. You that want to come to that. He's been here, he's back again right now. Council fire contract meeting will be held tomorrow, Tuesday, October 12th at 7 p.m. at the fire department. Council member Snyder, Spohr, and Garcia? Garza? Garcia. Okay.
I'm back from Ritzel.
What's that? If you're back? Okay, to attend. And also this Wednesday is the mayor's luncheon. So that's at 12 o'clock at the senior center if you're interested in coming to that. And now the City Council will now adjourn to an executive session for 30 minutes for the purpose of potential litigation with our city attorney, and we figure that'd be about 30 minutes. So I'll have the rest of you clear out.
I know, that's what I said. I'm the chair. Oh, I'm the chair.